Romans this evening, which will appear on the screen as well, and I'm going to invite Acuna up to come and read that to us. Now, just as Acuna comes up to do that, we're in a series at the moment looking at kind of five reasons to get the Bible open, five reasons to have it open regularly, to listen to it. So as Acuna reads from Romans 15, why don't you listen out to see what reason you can hear for doing that. Acuna, over to you.
Romans 15, page 1141. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks, Acuna. Please keep that open in front of you. If I haven't met you yet, my name's Nathan. I'm one of the other pastors here alongside Tim and Jonathan, who's on a bit of a break this weekend. But let me pray with us as we get this part of God's Word open together. Our gracious and merciful Father in heaven, on the wall behind us, Father, we have our verse for the year that describes the Bible as milk that will help us to grow up in our salvation. And we pray, please, tonight that as we drink of the milk of your word, that you would be growing us, maturing us, helping us to be more like Jesus. Father, please, would you do that work among us today? In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Famous phrase, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Wonderful. So it's a very famous phrase, isn't it? And we use it to say, when things are hard, those who are kind of strong in character, those who have that ability to persevere, they just keep going. They just get on with stuff. And that's how we use the phrase. And now what I'd like to do this evening is to take that phrase, and I'd like to kind of reinvent it a bit to help us to think through reason number four in our journey for why we should read the Bible. Okay, it's not very fancy. It's not going to stick with you forever, I don't think, this little phrase. But here it is. When the going gets tough, the tough get reading. Okay, I expected a little bit more than that. Come on, you're a tough crowd. When the going gets tough, the tough get reading. They get reading their Bibles. You see, there are many reasons in the Christian life why it might start to get tough. Many reasons why you might find the life of following Jesus hard work. That could be pressures from outside. If we were to read through the whole of the letter to Romans, you'll discover that there are pressures on followers of Jesus coming from outside of us. Pressures like opposition, persecution, intellectual challenge, families who perhaps don't want us to follow the Lord Jesus, friends, cultures that are pushing and pushing against us. And that can make following Jesus feel really hard. There are also pressures from inside, pressures from your own life, your own struggles with sin. You might struggle with the sins of other believers. You might struggle when you come to a church and you discover actually we suffer with the same problems everyone else does, and you struggle with somebody else's sins. You might struggle with the fact that you come to church and there are divisions. There are struggles within the church itself. And these things, pressures outside and pressures inside, means that the going can get tough sometimes for Christians. And when things get tough, when things get hard in life, what do you need? What do you want? Well, you need hope, don't you? Hope is that inner certainty, that inner confidence that things are not always going to be the way they are now. That's what hope is, right? When things are hard, what keeps you going, what helps you to get through the hard, is that it's not going to be like this forever. Now, you may not be able to put a time scale on that, but hope is that little flame inside that just enables you to keep going, to keep enduring. Now, for the Christian, that hope, the flame that burns bright inside that keeps us going, is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what a day. We've just sung about it. What a day that will be when this world will be put right, when there'll be no suffering, no sin, no brokenness. I won't wake up every day wondering who I'm going to upset today with my brokenness. That's the hope for the Christian. But the question is, here's the thing, how do you keep that hope, that flame alive inside you, that things, that Jesus is coming, that things are going to be better, that things aren't going to be this way forever? How do you keep it alive? Because if you are living out the Christian life, the thing that you will struggle with all the time is that it constantly feels like someone's trying to pour water on that hope. It feels like someone's flicking water at this candle burning inside you all the time. And so how do we keep the hope alive? How do you keep yourself thinking, no, Jesus is coming and it won't be this way forever. This tough situation I'm in, it won't be like this forever. How do you keep that hope alive? Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says that it's by reading. Reading the scriptures. Look at verse 15, chapter 15, verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Now that's a long sentence, but let's just try and work it out together, okay? I know it's warm in here, so we're going to have to work hard, okay, tonight. If you break that sentence up, it breaks into two parts. First of all, it says, everything that is written in the past is written to teach us. Now, scrub out the middle bit. We're going to come to that. But teach us so that, do you see that phrase in the middle of verse 4? So that, scrub out the middle bit, we might have hope. You see how it works? And the bottom line of what this is saying to us is that reading your Bible keeps hope alive. If you want that flame to stay lit inside you, that flame of hope that will carry you through hard times, you need to read the scriptures, because the scriptures are what keep that hope alive. They keep the flame burning. This verse teaches us something actually very important about the role of the Bible in the life of those of us who follow the Lord Jesus. And actually, they teach us something very important about the use of the Old Testament. Because you've got to remember that the time that Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, they only had the Old Testament. They didn't have what we have as the New Testament. So he's talking about the Old Testament. You see, look with me at the start of verse 4. Let's do some work together. What does it say? For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. Now, what he's saying here is that everything that was written, not every piece of literature, every written up to that point, but everything that was written, the Old Testament, everything that was written to teach us. Now, who's the us? Who's he talking about? He's talking about those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying that the Old Testament has been preserved by God to teach us who follow the Lord Jesus. That's true for those Christians in Rome back in AD, whenever it was, to those of us who live today in 2024. That means that every time I get my Bible open, whether I'm reading it in the morning or the evening or whenever you pick to read your Bible, and I read the story of creation, or I read the story of Exodus or Daniel in the lion's den or Jonah in the whale, all these famous stories, what are they there for? To teach us. To teach us what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're with us a few weeks ago, you'll say, hang on a second, I thought the Bible was there to teach us about Jesus. That was one of our reasons, wasn't it? It makes us wise for salvation. That's right, it takes you to him first. The Old Testament, these stories, make you wise for trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. But then those stories teach us how to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. See, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, they teach us about Jesus, but they don't stop there. They teach us about what it looks like to follow him. Now, I'm guessing that many of us struggle with the Old Testament. Would I be true in saying that? Let's have a little gauge. If some of you are reading our journey with us through the Old Testament readings as well as the New Testament readings, some of us have been reading Ezra and Nehemiah this week. And let's be honest, when you dip into some chapters of Nehemiah or Ezra in the morning and you read lists of names that you have no idea how to say, and they just seem to go on for a long time, you're thinking, what am I to do with this? Is this really written to teach me what it looks like to follow Jesus? And then many of us then can roll from there and think, I don't really know what to do with the Old Testament. Or some of us read those horrendous stories of nations destroying nations, seemingly at the sort of the commands of God, and we think, I don't know what to do with this. And you see, the danger is that we slip into kind of ancient error. You see, people have been doing this ever since the beginning. They don't know what to do with the Old Testament, so they say, well, we'll just leave it out. We just won't bother with the Old Testament. We love Jesus. You know, he's really cool, isn't he? He does all these healings. He's really loving. Dies on the cross to save me from my sins. Well, I have a bit of Jesus, but the Old Testament. But you see, if we fall into that trap, we fall into an error that has reoccurred through church history over and over again. As early as one man, probably the most famous man to do this, is a man named Marcion. He was around 80, 85, so just 85 years after the birth of Jesus. Here is a guy who was filled with errors, and one of his errors was he said, well, we'll just leave the Old Testament out. Let me just read you a quote which kind of explains this, and I read this because I think it's really important that we don't repeat church history. Okay, listen to what it says about Marcion. Marcion's theological errors, and there were many, in brackets, came from one main root. Here's his struggle. He refused to believe that the God of the Old Testament was the same as the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Marcion simply could not believe in a God full of wrath and justice. So he threw away the Old Testament and took for his Bible a truncated version of Luke's Gospel and selectively edited versions of Paul's letters. When all the cutting and pasting was finished, Marcion had the Christianity he wanted, a God of goodness and nothing else. A message of inspiring moral uplift, a Bible that does away with the uncomfortable bits about God's wrath and hell. Now, who doesn't want a Bible like that, hey? But actually, we mustn't fall into that trap. We mustn't fall into the trap of thinking, oh, no, this isn't for me. I don't know what to do with this bit. Instead, we've got to hear what Paul says, and he says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. To teach us what it looks like to follow Jesus today. Everything that was written is the purpose of keeping hope alive inside us. And I want to just put some confidence in you today to read the Old Testament. Because God's given it to you as a gift to keep hope alive. And so let me show you how the Bible does this. Okay, two things the Bible does to keep hope alive. First, reading the Bible keeps hope alive because it teaches us to keep going. The Bible teaches us to keep going. Look at verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. The scriptures teach us endurance. Endurance is that ability to keep going when things are hard. You know, we talk about kind of endurance athletes. My daughter is competing in some crazy event next weekend, which will take her about an hour and a half to compete. And it's just lifting heavy things and running in heavy directions and then coming back and lifting something heavy again. Sounds crazy to me, but that takes endurance for an hour and a half just to keep doing that. That's endurance. Or running a marathon, that takes endurance to just keep going when everything's hurting and every part of your body is screaming and you say, I'm just going to keep going. And the Bible, reading the Bible, teaches us endurance. It teaches us to keep going. It teaches us to be patient in the face of suffering. It teaches us to persevere when things are tough. And you might say, well, Nathan, how does it do that? How does the Bible teach endurance? Well, it's not just by telling us. You know, I could, you know, be a teacher and I say, Wag, you must endure. Now, and I've done that. I've taught you to endure, right? I've taught you endurance. Now, the Bible does tell us. It has commands to endure. But it doesn't just teach endurance by telling us to endure. It teaches us endurance by putting before us person after person who endures hard things and believes the promises of God. And they come out the other side. Abraham. Noah, David, Esther, these people of faith are put before us to teach endurance. Think of Blue Peter. Anyone ever watched Blue Peter? They always make something, don't they? But they never actually make it. They just say, oh, look, we'll do this bit. And here's one I made earlier. And then they hold it up and you're all looking at it thinking, oh, I know that's what it's meant to look like. And the Bible teaches us endurance because it says from God, here's one I made earlier. Here's a saint of the past who endured hard times and they kept hope alive and they came out the other side. And so you can too. With my help, God says, you can too. And I say with God's help because look at verse 5. May the God who gives endurance. It's God who gives endurance. How's God going to give you endurance? Through the scriptures that teach you endurance. That's his means. You know, if I bought a little packet of Haribo up here, and I said to you, if you took one Haribo every day, I promise you, you'll live to your 80 years old. I bet a lot of people would be like, give me the Haribo. You know, it's as easy as that. Just eat a Haribo every day. And the same is true. If I said to you, look, if you read your Bible every day, if you soak yourself in the scriptures, God will give you what you need to get through. When you do it, it's his means of giving us endurance, working into us that ability to stick out when things are hard, to keep believing when things are hard. Seeing the examples of endurance, people who made it through believing in God's word, is the way that God keeps that flame of hope alive inside you, flickering away. Abraham could do it, and maybe I could. If God gave Noah the ability to do it, then maybe he'll give me that ability to endure too. When the going gets tough, the tough get reading. Because in the Bible, that hope, that flame of hope is kept alive as it teaches us endurance. And ultimately, the Bible does take us to Jesus, doesn't it? If you want the ultimate example of endurance, then you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who endured the cross for the joy set before him, the one who endured the hardship of all that final days of his life entailed, because he had hope. The hope of what had been promised. So can I ask you, are you taking in those stories? Are you taking the Haribo every day? Taking in the stories of the Old Testament? Are you allowing God to work endurance in you through the scriptures? That's what it says, isn't it, verse 4? Through the endurance taught in the scriptures. See, if you're struggling to be hopeful, if you're struggling to keep going, one of the questions to ask ourselves, is it because I've stopped taking in the scriptures? Is it because I've stopped allowing the scriptures to teach me what it looks like to endure? Is it because I've stopped allowing the scriptures to keep that hope alive within me? So there's the first thing why we should read our Bibles, because they teach us to keep going. The second reason I want to put before you tonight of why we should read our Bibles and why they keep hope alive is because it teaches us to keep knowing. So it teaches us to keep growing, and it teaches us to keep knowing. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, look again at verse 4. Let's work through it. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught by scriptures, in the scriptures, and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. It tells us that the scriptures don't just teach us endurance, but they provide encouragement. That's what the scriptures do for us. In other words, they keep us knowing what we're hope for. They teach us the content of what we hope for. Many people who run a marathon tell me that when you're getting weary, you often come into these parts of the marathon where there are people lining the streets. And often when you run a marathon, you have your name on the badge. And so people have no idea who you are. They're like, go on, Nathan, yay! And they're cheering you on. And suddenly, with this encouragement from the sidelines, you've suddenly got a bit of fresh energy, even though your legs are dead, and you're like, come on! Now, that's a picture of encouragement, isn't it? And I want to paint that picture because it's that the scriptures do. When you read them, they're like, come on, Nathan! You can make it! Only 8 miles to go. 8 miles seems like a really long way! But that's one of the meanings of encouragement, isn't it? Lifting the spirits, helping us to keep going. The scriptures embolden belief, they embolden action. And it's in this way that the scriptures keep hope alive, because that flame burns, because it reminds you what it is you're hoping for. Heaven, the return of Jesus, life being good, and it just keeps that flame burning brightly inside you. The justice. Perhaps you're caught up in something wrong and terrible and you've been treated awfully and you just want justice. The flame of hope can stay alive as the Bible reminds you Jesus will bring justice. Keeping ourselves in the Bible is the way to receive encouragement. In fact, it's God's way. See that again, verse 5? How does God encourage you on your journey? Well, he encourages you as you read the scriptures. And I just want to stand before you and say, just at a very personal level, I can give testimony to that is what the scriptures do. You know, in the sometimes what seems just really dry and really mundane of opening a Bible, choosing to open a Bible every day, God has really encouraged me to keep going. Perhaps it's when someone has messaged me a verse from the Bible in the day. Here's the Bible, and it's an encouragement from the scriptures, and it really helps me to keep going. Or you're walking down the street, and the Holy Spirit brings to mind some words of scripture, and it encourages me. The scriptures keep hope alive because they help us to keep knowing what's coming. They don't let hope kind of fizzle out because they say, no, don't take your eye off the ball, Nathan. Jesus is coming. This world is going to be a better place. Jesus is going to return and sort out everything. Keep going. See, I wonder tonight as we gather for church and you think about the week ahead, do you need encouragement? I guess we all need encouragement, don't we? If you need encouragement to press on as a believer, or encouragement in a hard time to fight a certain sin, or just not to give up, then I would encourage you, please, to make time for your Bible. Because it's through the Word that God can encourage us. So when the going gets tough, the tough get?
Reading.
Good. You see, it's going to stick. It will stick. When the going gets tough, the tough get reading. Reading their Bibles. And keeps that much-needed hope alive. Hope that gets you through hard times. Hope that pulls us through difficulty. How does it do that? Because it helps us to keep going, and it helps us to keep knowing. It teaches us endurance, and it gives us encouragement. And that's got to be a reason to read your Bible this week, isn't it? We're a month in. If you're following our Bible reading scheme, we're a month in. That's the time most people want to give up, right? Don't give up. Because if that's what the scriptures do for you, then what a reason to keep opening them every day. And if you're not a Christian here this evening, then I want to ask you, what gives you hope? What helps you to have hope? Reading the Bible, encountering Jesus is a way that you can find real hope, true hope. Will you let the stories of the past teach you? Teach you about Jesus, teach you about yourself, teach you about salvation. Because it's only as we find Jesus that we find real hope. The hope of heaven, the hope of life with him. And so let me encourage you too this evening, if you're not yet a believer, to take a Bible and to read it. Because you too can enjoy the endurance and the encouragement and the hope that Jesus gives as we read the scriptures. Let me pray some of that in for us, and then we'll sing in response. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for all that you have caused to be written down in the past that can teach us today. Thank you that it is through your word that hope is kept alive. Help us to be people who make time for your word. You live out our verse for the year. You are the God who gives encouragement and endurance. And please, would you teach it to us? Would you give it to us as we read your word this week? Please especially keep hope alive in those who are in particular tough times at this moment. Father, we can think of many dear loved members of this church family who are in tough times. And we ask that your word would keep hope alive in them. May they know the endurance and encouragement of the scriptures even today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, please stand with me and sing, "There is a hope."